thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, the ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic. Hello, and thank you once again for coming to the Skeptic Psychic. I am, of course, Richard Gregg, and with me, as always, the most wonderful, happy, successful, highly intelligent, may I say, third beautiful woman in the world, meaning my wife, my mother, and of course, my beautiful sister, Kimber Rodriguez. How are we doing today, Kim?
Not all the same person.
Yes.
I am doing great. How are you this evening?
Doing fine. Anything exciting happened to you over the weekend or this past couple of weeks?
Well, actually, I just watched the Discovery Plus documentary on Lizzie Borden. I'm a huge true crime fan, and Lizzie Borden is one of my favorite cases. So it was really interesting to me. It was pretty intense, to say the least. I thought it was really good. What were your thoughts on it?
Overdramatic. Yeah, definitely overdramatic. But me personally, last Friday, I actually got to see Mickey Dolenz and Mike Nesbitt kick off the Monkees final tour, which was a great concert. It really was. They brought back memories. You know, both of them looked like they were spiry and still got that sense of humor and banter between them. Highly recommend it if anybody in the United States wants to go see them. Tickets are pretty much on sale right now.
Okay, that sounds pretty interesting. I remember we used to watch that on Nickelodeon back when you were in high school and I was just a kid.
Right. We do actually have somebody with us today. We have a guest, don't we?
Yes, today we welcome Michelle Clark all the way from New Zealand. And Michelle is an energy maverick, a mindset queen, public speaker, author, and business coach who empowers soul-led entrepreneurs in how to bring their gifts to the world while making more money and having more freedom. So we want to go ahead and welcome Michelle to the show. How are you doing today, Michelle?
I'm doing fantastically. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate it.
Looking on here, you know, you've got the meshing the woo with the do to get quantum results. What exactly is that?
That's a really good question. So for me, I'm a business coach. I've been psychic since the day that I was born. Of course, all of us are, right? We just forget about it and squash it down because we learn it's not socially acceptable. For me, those gifts never really went away. And for the longest time, I did squash them down and I certainly didn't apply them to my business. When I did begin applying all of that great knowledge outside of myself, when I allowed it to come into me and come out of my business, I got far better business results. And that's what I devote my life to now, is teaching people to reawaken their connection to their soul so they can get exponential results in their business. So meshing the woo with the do is meshing connecting to your soul and bringing that to the actual doing in your business.
Interesting. I was just telling Richard that my boss just recently found out that I'm intuitive over a couple of instances that happened with previous coworkers. So now whenever things are going kind of in a weird way, he's always like, okay, what are your feelings? What are you getting, Kim?
Isn't that fantastic? Because the world is really beginning to open its eyes, you know, like us empaths, the one that feel things, it really is, you know, people are starting to realize, well, they're starting to wake up. I honestly think that the pandemic has given people the space to really reconnect to themselves. And I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that they're empaths and that they are intuitive.
Interesting.
Now, building wealth consciousness, is it very hard to build or is it kind of an iffy proposition?
it's relatively easy to build your wealth consciousness. Like the actual process is easy, but what is hard is the work and the layers of bullshit that we've had laid on top of us, you know, that money is bad or that wealthy people aren't particularly nice people, especially here in New Zealand where I am. We have quite a problem with wealth consciousness. I know it's a little bit better where you live, but even where you live, right, people still, you know, push money aside. They don't want to be seen to be wanting it. So the process for building your wealth consciousness is definitely easy, but it is actually being brave enough to do the work and to dig into the core wounds that we have around money. That's where it gets hard.
Yes, I'm always hearing money is the root of all evil, but what people forget is it's actually the love of money is the root of all evil, because when used correctly, money can do some wonderful things. And like you said, I've met some amazingly compassionate, friendly, loving people who are wealthy. And it always bothers me when people are like, oh, well, if you're rich, you're a jerk or whatever. And that has always bothered me when they say that.
Yeah, me too, because honestly, money is just energy. It's just like anything else. And I'm very fond of saying, well, money's just like alcohol. It's just an expander. If you're a miserable, nasty little person and you get drunk, you're going to be a nasty little drunk. If you're like happy and la-la and you get drunk, you're going to be really annoying because you're going to be skipping around hugging everyone, right? So it's really just an expander. So if you're already an asshole and you make lots of money, yeah, you're going to be able to be more of an asshole. But if you're a beautiful soul like we are and you make more money, then you're going to bring more beauty and soul to the world. And I always say to people, look at Oprah. You don't think she's an asshole. She's beautiful. Look at what she does in the world. But she has plenty of money and she's not afraid of using her money. She's not embarrassed of having the money, and neither should we be.
That is true. You know, because we are sort of dealing with a lot of paranormal and psychic phenomenon in our own personal business here. I was reading some of your stuff and you had actually had experiences with the Fae.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it's perfectly normal for me. And honestly, I remember this is when I started to squash my gifts. When I went to kindergarten, I just thought it was normal to talk to fairies. Like, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I've always spoken to animals and fairies. And then when I went to kindergarten and some girls were picking a whole lot of daisies, and I said, oh, you know, can we not pick all of them? Because, the fairies are like, hey, we're living under here. Well, then they stuffed all the daisies down my throat and I nearly choked. So that's when I started to learn to turn it off real fast.
Oh, my.
But then later on when it started coming back out, and it still is a trigger for me, right? Like, it's still a lot of people will think that I'm crazy, and I'm completely fine with that these days. It's like, go ahead and think what you think. I know that I'm not crazy. I mean, I'm a perfectly successful businesswoman, you know? So, and I try and share my experiences with the world now so that I can show other people that just because you're spiritually connected, it doesn't mean that you're running around in a tie-dye skirt bombing at the moon, you know? Like, people think that people that are connected and intuitive are these crazy, weird people, but we're not. We're just normal people. It's just that we happen to be connected to soul, and so would everyone else be if they just opened up and let that back in. But to answer your question about actually talking with the fairies and what it's like, it's beautiful. Like, it feels angelic and expansive. There's nothing like it. Like, you just feel so plugged into the whole earth when you're communicating with them.
Like I said, it's, you know, some people will say that the Fae are just kind of a little bit of the tricksters, and some people say, well, no, they're beautiful people. You know, it's just yin-yang type situation. I mean, when it comes to, you know, the fairy world, they do have sort of an attraction to the human species.
Mm. And I'm sure that there are naughty ones, just like people, right? There are naughty people and good people too. So I'm sure it's the same with the fairies. The ones that I communicate with tend to have a lot to do with saving and changing the energies on the earth, because that's my life purpose, is to raise the vibration of the earth. So I guess that's why I end up communicating with those fairies that have something to do with that.
Yes, I remember whenever something would go missing and then it would turn up in the oddest places, my mom would be like, oh, it's just the fairies messing with you.
Yeah.
So I remember one time, the phone guy came to change out our phone lines and I couldn't find the key to get where he needed. And before he got there, I was like sweeping the floor. couldn't find the key. The guy ended up leaving and said, well, I'll come back. He left. I looked down, and where I was sweeping up the dust, the keys were laying right there. And I'm like, okay, I know they weren't there before because I was just cleaning there. And my mom's like, well, it's the fairies. They're just messing with you.
Yep. They can be very, well, you know, and maybe there was a reason that he wasn't supposed to do that right then. Maybe they were looking after you, not necessarily being naughty.
Right. And that thought did cross my mind. I did think, well, maybe there was something that they were protecting me from, and they hid them so that way it would protect me.
Yeah.
So that definitely did. And then there's been other times where I'll know I put something in my purse and it's not there. Take everything out, can't find it. And then 2 or 3 days later, I'll go back to my purse and it's sitting right there on top of everything else. And I'm like, okay, I know I emptied this thing out. I show also that you have done some astro traveling. Can you tell us a little bit about how that works and what you've done with that?
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody astro travels all the time, right? Like it's not a new thing, but basically like when you meditate and when you sleep, your soul goes off and communicates with the other side, you know, like communicates with your guides and communicates with whoever else you happen to be communicating with. That's why when you go to sleep, like if you write down a problem that you're having on a piece of paper and you want to find the solution, I guarantee you that you will dream about something that will give you the solution to the problem. Because when we go to sleep, it's almost like we switch off our brain and we turn on our souls. And that's why it's so important when you're running a business that you take your biggest and most soul-aligned actions, the most aligned success actions for your business in the morning, because that's when you're most connected to soul. If you wait until after you've scrolled Facebook and done a whole lot of other shit that has you diving into fear, then you'll be taking the wrong actions in your business. But astro traveling is really just disconnecting with the other side. There isn't even anything that you have to do. What I do when I astro travel is I call in my spiritual team, whoever I'm working with at the time, and I ask them to look over my body and keep me safe while I go into my dreams. And then I ask them to take me to a place that's going to show me, you know, the answers to whatever I'm particularly working on at the moment. And that's it. You don't need to be conscious. It doesn't always feel like flying. Sometimes it feels, you know, very, very normal and mundane, because it is normal and mundane. It's just your soul communicating with the other side.
Interesting. Do you have any thoughts on that, Richard?
Well, I have actually a couple of times astral traveled, and first time I did it, it freaked me out because it was by accident. However, the second time I did it, it was kind of a nice little ride that wouldn't want to take again. I mean, just nice to see the people that has left the world that knew me. And it was like, you've done it. Okay. Don't need to do it again. That's true.
For me, I had read somewhere or heard somewhere about how to do it. And so I remember I laid down and I just relaxed my body and I just pictured like coming out of it. And it was like the weirdest feeling. I could actually almost feel my soul lifting out, and it scared me so bad that I just stopped right there and I haven't tried it again, because I'm always so worried about doing something like that and opening up for something else to come in or having some negative experience with it.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's why it's important to ask your spiritual team to come and keep you safe. But the honest truth is that when you go to sleep, you're probably astro traveling and you don't even know it. So you needn't really worry about something weird coming in, because it's actually something that we naturally do all the time anyway. And even if we don't ask our spiritual teams for specific protection, they're always there protecting us. I mean, like I've been doing all sorts of crazy woo-woo shit all my life and nothing bad has ever happened to me. No, I know that it does to some people, but it just doesn't happen to me.
They always say when you start doing some crazy woo-woo stuff, or woo-woo shit if you want to call it, always make sure that you're centered and you're calm. Because if you start doing it and you're not, you know, protected in that type of situation, that's bad things will happen to you.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that's an energy thing. Like you saying that kind of prompts me to remember a situation where my dad was dealing with spirits, and he quite often makes spirits quite angry. Both of my parents are extremely psychic, so I guess it's only natural that it's been, you know, that it was something that I never lost. But if you approach them and you're an angry type energy, then that's, you know, like, honestly, it's all about energetics. It's the same, like, if you're an angry grumpy person, you end up with angry grumpy friends, right? Like attracts like. Whatever energy you're feeling, that's the kind of spirit energy that you're going to call to you. So yeah, you definitely want to make sure that your energy is high vibe.
That's so true. You've got to make sure that once you go into something like that, you're not going into that angry energy or that fright or something like that, because something out there feeds on fright or anger, that sort of thing. And when you go in there with a calm, energetic, joyful feelings, you get a lot more further than you do trying to bully your way in. It's the perfect way I can explain exactly. I myself have gone into situations. I've gone into, you know, when I first discovered I was pretty much psychic, as being very much afraid. And even today, I'm very cautious when I do use my I want to call it power. I usually call it a curse. Forgive me for saying that, but because I've had a few negative aspects of it as well as.
No, I completely hear you. You know, like I used to think, why me? Why do I have to get these messages as well? You know, like sometimes I get told things that I really don't want to know. And then I discovered that I could actually turn it off. I could say, unless you're also going to give me the power to assist a person or change, just don't tell me anything about it. You can control what comes in and what doesn't.
Because I hit 50 just this past year, that I'm slowly trying to open myself up a little bit more, because I have so many years trying to hide my psychic, my sixth sense, pretty much, because it, for years, it very much disturbed me.
Yeah, I hear you. And it can be frightening, right? Because here's the thing, like, I'm so pleased that you guys are doing this show. I don't know how long it's been running for, but it's really important to make these conversations normal, because I mean, you know, you don't have to understand and see something in order to use it and have it to be a part of your life. Like me personally, like I don't understand how cryptocurrency works, but I still buy it. I don't understand how the electricity actually gets into my light bulb, but it doesn't matter, you know. And so the more that we talk about things and make it normal, then hopefully we can make it normal for everyone to be really connected. Because even though it is scary, and it can be scary when you don't know what you're doing, but when you actually finally accept it and you take that layer of fear off, like tapping into your soul just has so many rewards. It really does outweigh the badness of people thinking that you're crazy. You just honestly don't care anymore.
I was talking with my coworkers today, and like I was saying, my boss is now asking me what my thoughts and feelings are on certain situations. So today I opened up with my coworkers about that, and I'm like, you know, I don't like to tell people because I don't want people to think I'm crazy or weird or anything. And at first I was like, they didn't kind of get what I was trying to say. And I'm like, no, I'm psychic. And they were like, oh, okay. Well, don't be afraid to tell us. I was like, oh, okay.
That's so lovely. I'm so happy for you, because I don't know whether I put it in the show notes when I booked to come on here, but I once got fired for being psychic.
Oh my goodness. Tell us about that.
I wasn't directly and covertly I wasn't directly fired for being psychic, but later on I found out that is exactly what it was. So the place that I was working, the lady who took over from a previous manager had quite extreme religious beliefs, and me being psychic made her extremely uncomfortable. And so she basically made my life difficult enough for me to want to leave, really. So I guess I was pushed out rather than fired. But yeah, interesting, huh?
Yes, it's very interesting. That's why I'm so grateful. Like where I work right now, my boss is, he is very religious, but he's dealt with a lot of things in his own life. And he's actually participated in exorcisms and different things like that. So he's open to what I have to offer. And he says that he's just revealed to us today that he's very empathic and that he can actually pick up on people's emotions. So I find it really cool to work in that kind of environment where people are open to these different types of things.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I mean, like, I don't not believe in God. I believe there is a God as well. You know, like, it's not like you have to believe in God or you have to believe in spiritualism. Like, it's all the same thing. You know, there is something else out there that we're communicating with. So we can all get along.
Yes.
I've got a coworker who says he's not religious, but he does believe in a higher power. Mm. And he basically grew up until he was 14 years old Catholic, when he decided that, you know, I don't believe, you know, in the Catholic principles, but I do believe in a higher spirit, and I will do everything in my power, you know, to follow the tenets of the Ten Commandments, but I don't have to believe in the Catholic God, you know.
Yeah.
He believes that the higher power is some type of alien species.
Yeah, I definitely think there are alien species. I mean, I know that I've had past lives that were on other galactic stars and not on Earth, so... Yeah, I fully believe in galactic energies.
We used to have a friend of ours that believed that if he was reincarnated, he was the reincarnated of a guy who did not believe in reincarnation.
That was actually my husband. He would always say that he did believe in reincarnation, but if he was reincarnated, his prior self didn't believe in it either.
So funny. But I mean, honestly, there is just too much proof out there, you know, like it would be impossible for me not to believe in it. There's so much proof of previous lifetimes. But honestly, it doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not. Like, it really honestly doesn't make any difference, because we're here on this planet right now to fulfill our life's purpose, and we won't feel satisfied with our lives. Like, look around you at how many people are just absolutely miserable, right? It's because they haven't tapped into their life's purpose. If they tapped into soul, they'd learn what their life purpose was, they'd quit their jobs and go and do something that was really meaningful to them, and they'd be super happy and joyful. I mean, I'd rather have a world full of super happy, joyful people. It makes me so sad to see that they're not connected and not happy.
I think basically this podcast that my sister and I are doing is kind of something joyful. It's something that I've been wanting to do for most of my life, even before I knew there was such a thing as a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember back when we were kids, we were pretending to be on radio shows, and we'd pre-record them and do different characters. And so when the whole podcast industry came out, we were both like, oh, we got to do this.
See, guys, this is because, and honestly, like, this is like, I mean, you know that I've just like launched, in fact, just yesterday, come live on Amazon, Woo Woo for Woman in Business. And in that, I talk about how the things that you play at as a kid are the things that are actually your true soul's purpose. And that's why you guys are getting so much joy out of doing this podcast, because it's your soul's purpose to help other people realize that tapping into soul doesn't have to be afraid. Like, I'm so pleased for you guys that you're doing it, but I'm also pleased for the world. Like, what you're doing is really important. So thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Yes, our mother is very, very psychic herself. And I can remember being 3 or 4 years old and just sitting at her feet and listening to her tell stories of ghosts and her experiences and premonitions and remote viewing. Even at that young of age, I was so fascinated with it all. So for us to be able to do this, to do not only a podcast, but a podcast about something that I've always been so fascinated with, and to find more people and talk with more people who enjoy that fascination as well, it's just been such a blessing.
Yeah. And what does your mom think of your podcast? Is she super excited?
She is. I'm not sure if she's heard it yet, because she's in her 70s already and kind of old fashioned, so she really doesn't get on the internet. But I have sent her the links, and she says she'll check it out. But
fantastic. Imagine how much scarier it was for them growing up in her age. And, you know, like, it definitely wasn't acceptable to talk about spiritualism back when she was a kid. I mean, that's not so far removed from when we were all burned at the stake, right?
Right.
Like, we're pretty lucky these days with what we can talk about.
True story. My mom tells this story about how when my dad and her were engaged, and he sat there drawing, and he was talking about, you know, if they ever had the firstborn son, how he would look. And he drew a nice little picture. They got married. And 9 months later, of course, the picture that my father drew was my elder brother as a baby. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Isn't that so cool?
She also used to tell us about how when she was a young child, that her aunt, who was also very psychic, this would have been my great aunt, they would sit and they would talk to each other, but it would be telepathically. And they would have all these long conversations without speaking a word verbally. And she says, like, they both knew when her aunt was going to pass away, and they just sat there and cried together. And that was the last time she ever saw her.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, it's really crazy, isn't it? You know, my when I was pregnant with my daughter, and I didn't know what sex was, like, it was quite early on in the pregnancy, and I had a dream, and this horrible, squishy, purple, ugly thing come and said her name was Jessica, and that she was coming to me. And I was like, oh God, that thing's ugly. Well, my daughter, like, it took me a very long time to push her out. She was pretty purple and ugly when she was born. She's in the other room. Hopefully she's not listening to me. And I very nearly called her Jessica, because honestly, it was the exact image. I was like, wow. So her name is now Caitlin Jessica Clark. I had to give her the middle name. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
When I came out, I was screaming at the top of my lungs, so.
Yeah, but you were born to talk, see?
Yes, ma'am.
So, going back, why do you think that people are so hesitant to use their intuition in business? Do you think it's back to that stigma of that we're not supposed to talk about it, that we're not supposed to tap into it because it's considered evil or wrong? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, completely. I think it's twofold. I think A, there's still the stigmatism. I mean, we still have the generational wounds from being burnt at the stake. Like, it wasn't that long ago. So I think we still have the generational wounds there. We were all teased as kids for being weird. Like, our psychic ones are always a little bit weird, right? Because we're connected to the other side. So we were all teased. So we don't want to put ourselves out there and look different. We certainly don't want to admit to it and be teased and have it affect our business. So yeah, we're afraid. But the other thing is like, even if we weren't afraid of owning our woo-woo-ness, we wouldn't think to apply it to business, because all of the boring business rules, and I mean, I have an MBA, so I know them all. I know all the boring business rules. They were made up by white males, right? And they don't work for women in business and soul-led entrepreneurs and people that are here to change the world. They're here for big corporate companies like Coca-Cola or Telecom, you know? They work perfectly for them, but they do not work for what I like to call soulpreneurs, right? If you're a soulpreneur, if you're here to do something big in the world, you need to actually run your business in a whole different way. So we hustle, you know, like, I mean, I bet you if you're running a business and you look at your to-do list, it's got 50 things on it and you're scrambling and you're doing all the things and you're like, but why isn't it working? Why aren't I making any money? Because you're doing all the things that would work for a different business, but not for yours. There is a different way to do business, but it requires tapping into your soul, and you feel naughty or like you're doing something wrong when you tap in your soul and apply it to your business, because we've been taught that business has to be done in a certain way.
Well, talking as a white male, basically, you know, I've never really embraced my, up until recently, you know, my psychic, I'll just say powers, even though I kind of feel like it's cursed, but at the same time, I've also embraced my weirdness. I mean, growing up, I was the guy that would be singing to myself or dancing down the hallway at school and people looking at me like, yeah, that's kind of weird. I don't have any tattoos. I had one pierced ear at a time, and I woke up one morning and I'm like, that's not me. So I took it out. But I've always, like I said, been that weird kid in school. And my sister can vouch for me that I was a very, you know, excited child and...
Yes.
You know, just so I just never knew exactly until recently how to take my weirdness and actually put it out there into the world, and so that other people are like, okay, he may be weird, but he's almost normal, as you know, the way people are thinking these days.
Right.
Yeah, and here's the thing, like, when you allow your weirdness out, it activates other people, and they're like, well, if he can be weird and get on with it, well, so can I. So you're activating other people. Like, it's such an important role. And honestly, nobody is normal on the inside. I mean, you can imagine, I've coached thousands of people, right? Trust me, none of them are normal. None of us are normal.
Yeah, I recently, a few years ago, found out that I have ADHD. And like you said, I can remember being the kid walking around talking to everybody, getting up from my chair and, you know, finding out that that's not the way you're supposed to do things. You're supposed to sit there quietly and pay attention.
Exactly. And according to who, right? Like honestly, I'm definitely here to work with the misfits. Me and a friend of mine, we're setting up a charity in New Zealand. It's called Ideration Activation for the Youth of Our Nation. So we're basically working with the ones that people think are weird, you know, the ADHD, the dyslexia, the whatever, like the more weird and wonderful, the better. And we want to show them that they are the ones here to change the world, because they are. Like if you look at leaders, right, leaders have to do something different. And different is always scary. So people often tell leaders that they're crazy or they don't like leaders. I mean, Einstein had no friends.
Right.
Right? Like the people that have changed the world are differently weird. And we just need to own that and accept that no one's going to believe what we're doing. And we just need to get on with it and do it. Like, we're all looking for validation, but we're not going to find it. You just have to get on with it anyway.
Yes, definitely.
The validation is for yourself, pretty much. You know, if you feel validate in your own mind and soul, who cares what anybody else thinks?
Exactly, yes.
Exactly. I'm going to say hell yes, sister, even though you're a man. Yes.
Now, I noticed on your website that you're saying busting the bullshit holding you back from success. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so the bullshit beliefs in your mind, like you have to do business in a certain way, I can't make money doing this crazy woo-woo shit, I'm not good enough, imposter syndrome, or all of those bullshit beliefs and the bullshit rules. Like, you know, when you do an email sequence, you have to give, 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 and then you ask. You know, all of those boring business rules. Like, I burn all of them down because they are the bullshit that holds you back. And people just get epic results. I mean, like doubling their income in 2 months. And, you know, like you would be surprised what happens when you peel back the bullshit and you let your inner woo-woo and your craziness out. But things get really wild in business. Super successful.
Definitely true. You know, like I said, right now, pretty much, I think both Kimbra and I are working on getting rid of that bullshit in our lives.
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm in the process of, like you said, looking for what is my greater purpose? What am I here for? What am I all about in order to, like you said, to find success and to be happy and just all of those things?
Like when you are happy in the world, right, and you guys are happy doing your podcast, like when you do what you're happy doing in the world, you will make lots of money, but you will also heal the earth. Like, think about it. If you're happy and joyful, you're a better husband, lover, daughter, whatever, you know, you're just a better person in the world, and that has ripple effects and that energy touches everyone around you. But more importantly than that, when everyone is experiencing joy and they're vibrating at that higher level, the poor little earth, she gets healed as well, because she feels our pain and it's too much for her. Like, we're living in a world of fear and she's like, guys, I can't take any more. Stop spilling your shit into me. So we need to get higher vibe and get happier to save her.
So what are your top mindset and energy hacks?
Oh, my top energy hack for sure is be careful who you hang out with. Like, write down the 10 people that you spend the most time around and then take note of how you feel after you've been around each of them. If you feel like super high vibe and you want to dance around your office and you're like feeling amazing, then they're a keeper. If you feel like a bit drained, a bit tired, like you need to go and eat a bag of chips, they're a no-go. So just limit or completely stop spending time around. Like, if it's your husband, it might be a little bit difficult to not spend right. time around them, right? But you can mitigate it. Like, if you're, let's say your husband is a complainer and that really tanks your energy, you can mitigate those circumstances by talking to him about it, to say, hey, I've got so much going on right now. Like, when you complain, I know that it makes you feel better, but it's kind of like taking a big pile of mud and putting it on me. So would you mind if you talk to someone else about that for now? Like, taking charge of... I say this, I did this my own podcast the other day and I was like, be careful who you let between your ears, right? Because it's important. Just because someone wants to talk doesn't mean you have to listen to them, right? Like,
right.
mind is your property. Just because someone wants to complain doesn't mean you need to listen to it.
Right. Exactly. I have been through several relationships in my life. I'm on my second marriage. And to be honest, my first marriage was the most second most miserable time in my life. The first being the relationship I was into before I married my wife. But my wife and I get along famously. In fact, it's odd for most people to hear, but every night before we go to bed, she's reading to me. And we enjoy doing that. It's like resting our minds and getting into a state of, you know, pure enjoyment of actually hearing these stories. Just say, for copyright purposes, she's reading me the whole Wheel of Time series, because it's the first book is going to come up on Amazon. It's something she enjoys, and she's sharing it with me, and I'm sharing the time with her, listening to her and asking questions about the book, you know, what she thinks and that sort of thing. So, like I said, to me, it's the most beautiful thing I can do that makes her happy and it makes me happy.
That's just so wonderful. Honestly, what a beautiful way to connect. See, and don't you feel amazing after that? And then, of course, you sleep. And then so you're automatically happy when you go to sleep. I bet you wake up feeling amazing.
I wake up tired, but amazing.
Well, then, honestly, you should read the energetics chapter of my book.
Okay.
Because I never wake up tired, ever. Like, my body is sometimes, like, knocking on my brain at 4 o'clock. It's like, get up, bitch. We've got things to do.
Speaking of your book, you write about the different types of energy that there is. Can you share those with us, how they're different?
Yeah, definitely. So it's external energy and internal energy. So external energetics is about the people that you hang around with, like even your home, you know. So we've already talked about like cutting out the people out of your life that are not adding to your energy. But it's more than that. It's also about the place that you live in. Like if you're looking at things and they make you feel yucky, like if your home is cluttered or it's dirty, that's going to be tanking your external energetics as well. So it's about the environment you live in. It's about the people that you hang out with. And then there's internal energetics. So what are you feeding your body? Are you getting enough oxygen? Are you giving yourself beautiful affirmations? Like how are you treating yourself? So your internal energy combined with the external energy and then wrapped all around that is the earth's energetics as well. So are you tapping up to higher levels? Are you doing your soul's purpose? Because if you're doing your soul's purpose, you will definitely have more energy that you can expend. So it's energy on 3 levels, internal, external, and higher.
Interesting.
You're one of those people that believe in tapping, you know, starting from the head all the way down to where the beliefs of, you know, I don't have enough money to a point where you can actually build your money. How would you describe that? I'm sorry, is that question confusing?
a little bit. So do you mean how can a person deal with the beliefs that are weighing them down?
Yes.
Okay. So generally what I get my clients to do is I get them to keep a thought journal. So like just carrying around, you know, a tiny little notebook with you and noticing the thoughts that dive your energy. Like if you all of a sudden find yourself in a bag of chips, or you all of a sudden find yourself scrolling on Facebook, or you're thinking, gee, is it time for a cup of coffee or a glass of wine or something? Like if you're trying to distract yourself, think about the thought that you had about 2 or 3 minutes previous, because I guarantee it's a fear thought that is taking you away from the thing that you're supposed to be doing in the world. And then that's why you want to distract yourself. So if you write all of those thoughts down and then you journal on them, like if you write that, like if the thought was, oh, gee, I better hurry up and get this PowerPoint presentation out because Jennifer over there is also a money mindset coach and she's doing the same thing. And if I don't hurry up, oh, my God, I'm going to fail. But she's better than me. And we kind of go into the snowball thinking. So if you can unravel that a little bit and pick out the beginning thought, which was, oh, I better hurry up, then I would dive into that in my journal. I'd be like, I feel like I'm constantly behind the eight ball and that I must run to catch up because, and I'd just write and write and write. And it might come out that maybe my dad told me that if I didn't hurry up, I was going to be a lazy sloth that just failed at the world. Like if you find what the root cause or the person that taught you to believe that, then you can discover the core belief and then you just turn it around. So I'd write and write and write until I got to the core belief, which might be, I don't know, I'm a lazy and I'll never succeed. And then I'd completely turn it around. I'm the most amazing human being there is, and all I need to do to succeed is relax. So I literally flip it on its head, and then I would say that to myself over and over and over. I'd probably say it 5 times into my phone, and then I'd just hit repeat, and I'd just let it play to myself all day long.
Interesting. My biggest issue is comparing myself to other people. Like, I'm in design. I design websites. But I'm always looking at other sites and thinking how, oh, well, that's so much better than I am, or this person I'm working with is such a better designer, I'll never be that good. And then I start to feel bad about myself and like, what am I even doing here, because I'm never going to be as good as this person. So that's my biggest issue.
Exactly. So honestly, darling, stop comparing, stop looking at other people's websites, stop following other web designers. Like people say to me all the time, oh, you're really like Brené Brown, do you follow her? And I'm like, I'm sure she's a beautiful human being, but I don't follow anyone. Like I'm seriously too busy getting my message out in the world. I really don't care what anyone else is doing. I bet you Brené Brown's not following a whole lot of other people either.
With all the stresses going on right now with like the lockdowns and COVID and the pressures that we've discussed, how can we use the woo to achieve our goals without feeling burned out?
Yeah. So in order to do that, you need to allow space for the woo. And with the amount of fear that's going on in the world, I mean, like me personally, I haven't consumed any media, as in the newspaper, the radio, or the news on TV since 9/11. I decided when they were like ramping up, you know, showing devastated people and putting music to it, I was like, I'm out. These are human beings we're talking about. I'm not playing your game. And there was nothing I could do about it all the way from New Zealand, right, other than feel terrible. So really, how's that energy going to help anyone? If they asked me for money, sure, great, but they weren't. They were just asking me to feel bad, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I opted out of it, and that really did change my life. Like it allowed me more space to realize what my purpose was and to be a better person in the world. So that is what I would tell everyone. Like with this whole pandemic going on, don't buy into the fear. Like it's like watching it over and over and watching all the updates is not going to change what it is. Do what you feel is right for you to keep yourself safe. And whether that be a foot in one camp or a foot in the other camp, like it really doesn't matter, right? We all have our own individual choices. I personally don't care what anyone else is doing. It's their choice. But stay away from the fear of everyone else so that you can be resting in your own soul. And to do that, you need space. So stop scrolling on Facebook. Like none of my clients are allowed on social media. I mean, we need social media for our businesses, right? But they are not allowed on social media or to answer any emails or phone calls even before lunchtime. Because from 7 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock when my clients get up, from 5 o'clock in the morning until lunchtime is when they're taking their aligned actions in their business. And if you keep your head in the game and you just work on your business, then the whole rest of the day is yours. You can go and scroll on Facebook or eat and, you know, watch Netflix on the couch or whatever you want to do, and let the world in after that. But keep the world out for the morning if you want to be successful in business.
Interesting. With, you know, having that balance of like, okay, in the morning you're going to do your business and then in the afternoon you're going to enjoy yourself and relax. You say that you do struggle with that word balance. Can you share why and how do you see it playing out?
Yeah. Because I think balance is just a load of shit. There's never going to be balance, right? Like when you've just given birth to a baby, your life's going to be all about the baby. When you've just gotten married, your life's going to be all about your husband and building that relationship. Like there is no balance. Balance is doing what feels right for you in any given moment. So I don't struggle with balance. Me, myself personally, I struggle with the word balance because there is no balance. I do whatever I feel like doing at the right time. Like if I had a full day of coaching and I didn't want to do it because I wasn't feeling that I could bring my best energy, I literally wouldn't do it. I'd phone them all up and say, hey, you're not going to get the best out of me today, so I'm actually going to go and ride my horse all day. I'll see you tomorrow. And they'd be like, cool, thank you.
So you're not afraid to say, I'm not feeling it today, I'll see you tomorrow.
Exactly. But of course, like, I have, like, it never happens, because I think it's happened once in like the last 10 years, because I'm very, very careful that I actually do what I need to do in order to be high vibe and aligned for my clients. So I make sure that I get up at 5 o'clock and I do my journaling and I do my exercise and that I eat the right foods and that I spend time in the afternoon connecting with the fairies and my horses. So I do the things that will keep me high vibe for my clients, because nothing is more important to me than my clients and my connection.
That is awesome. What do you wish that you had known about all of this 20 years ago?
I wish that I'd just been strange. I wish that the girls that stuffed the daisies down my throat, I wish that I'd told them to off. and that I just owned it, you know, right from the start. I mean, I guess probably, honestly, that's a bit tongue-in-cheek, because honestly, looking back, I probably wouldn't have, right? Because we all want to feel safe, and as a child, you need to be part of a group and you need to be part of society. So probably a more sensible answer would be that I wished that I had not worked in places that also didn't match my type of energy and my beliefs. Like, I spent a lot of years wasted trying to do good for them in a place that I didn't fit. If your face doesn't fit, go somewhere that it does.
Right. No, I totally get that. I worked customer service for several years, and everybody was like, oh, but you're so caring and so compassionate. It's so good for you. And it was literally so draining, because everyone was so negative when they'd call in. Customer service is not necessarily about helping people. I mean, it is, but it's also dealing with all their problems. And yeah. I finally had to tell my boss I was quitting. And he's like, well, is there anything that we could do to keep you? And I was like, well, to be honest, I just don't care anymore. And it's not fair to you, and it's not fair to your clients. But I just could not go through that drain anymore of energy, like you said.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to.
Basically, I'm with her on.
Yeah, good. And don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to quit your job. Don't be afraid to move house. Don't be afraid to leave a relationship. Like, I had someone interview me for a newspaper article, and she said, are you this happy all the time? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, but how are you that happy all the time? I said, because I make fast decisions. If something isn't feeling right, I act on it straight away.
What I was going to say is that basically I have spent most of my life mostly doing customer service or doing something that deals with the public. And I'm very emphatic when it comes to it. I can actually feel their emotions. And when they're having a bad day, believe me, I know I'm having a bad day. So with you saying, you know, get away from the negative aspects of people, I'm actually working towards that right now. My wife and I are kind of moving a little bit more down south, because both of us are not very happy of where we are right now due to the winter and me dealing with so much of the public that I experience. So we're working towards making ourselves a little bit more happy.
Yeah, I agree. I live on a farm, and being around less people so that you can manage the energy that comes into you, that's really smart.
It's really hard when you're, like you said, when you're somebody who not only understands that energy, but picks up on it and can feel it yourself. And then to have to go through that day to day and feeling that negative energy and taking it upon yourself.
Yeah.
Not a fun feeling.
Yeah, truly. No.
Do you have any other questions, Kim?
Where can our listeners find you if they want to find out more information about you or your book or your coaching, anything like that?
If they go to empowermentempires.com, then they'll find everything they need there. They can sign up for free trainings. They'll have access to the book. And if they buy the book in launch month, they actually get some pretty cool goodies. So I'm putting everyone that buys it into the drawer for a $2,500 coaching package. Plus, they get to pick anything they like off my online shop. And there's some courses on there worth $600. So my accountant's not particularly happy with me, but I don't care, right? The courses are created. Like, why would I not want that goodness out there in the world? So go for it. Snaffle it up while it's there.
Right.
Exactly. And you coach worldwide? It's not just in your area?
Yep. No, I coach worldwide.
Awesome.
Well, we thank you, Miss Clark, for coming on here and having just a little chat with us today. And we hope that you have yourself a wonderful week, or weekend, I should say, because you're talking to us in the future.
I am.
Yes. So how does the future look for us all? What can we expect within the future?
Well, Friday's shaping up to be a beautiful energy type day. It's a good day for making big decisions.
All right.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
You're more than welcome. Thank you so much for having me on here. It's been really fun. And thank you so much for the podcast that you're doing. Like, this message needs to get out there in the world. So I'm incredibly grateful for you to keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do have one review I wanted to go ahead and read for our viewers. I'm just bringing that up.
Sorry you joined yourself today, Miss Clark.
Yeah, absolutely. I am. Yep. It's been a fabulous morning.
It was a fabulous morning for me as well. I slept in a little bit, so it's a good thing.
Nice. I was up at 5 a.m. doing my journaling with a whole lot of dogs in the bed. So that's always enjoyable. Like, that's another thing about energy, right? Like, animals really expand your energy. If you want to expand your energy, then definitely get some pets.
Definitely. I've got 3 cats, but I'm kind of like St. Francis of Assisi when it comes to the animals. They feed off my wonderful friendliness, and some dogs are supposed to be, well, he's a killer. Hello, puppy. You know, wagging their tail at me.
I notice mom's the same way. She's got a very strong connection to animals as well. They just all love her. So we got a 4-star rating on Apple Podcast. Roxy Balboa says, definitely a different take on how we hear or see things. Love it. It's interesting to understand the differences in society. So I want to go ahead and thank Roxy for leaving us that review. And if our listeners want to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcast, we greatly appreciate it. This helps us to go up in the rankings, so it makes it easier for listeners to find us as well. Also, if anybody has any questions or want to reach out to us, you can also go to our website, skepticpsychic.com, and you can fill out our contact form, or you can also email us at info@skepticpsychic.com. That's another way to reach us. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I'd like to add the fact that we request beautifully, pleasantly, please, oh, please give us 5 stars on Apple and Google Podcasts. We really do appreciate it. And we love every one of you out there. And as we close tonight, we like to say pleasant nightmares. Goodbye.
Yes. Before we say goodbye, I also want to mention we are also now on Podchaser. So you can also review us there. As well as we are now also on Stitcher. So those are just a couple of other places you can find us. And as always, you can go to our website, skepticpsychic.com, and listen there, or also find all the other places we're listed. But again, thank you, Ms. Clark, for joining us. It was a pleasure meeting you and a pleasure speaking with you. And pleasant dreams, everyone.
Lovely. Thank you so much for having me, guys. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you. You too.
You too, ma'am.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.